few movies, take a few notes.
It was fun.
What's up, Goreheads, and welcome back to another episode of the Extreme Horror Replay Podcast. And sitting to my left is my beautiful wife, Nancy, and her dog, Molly. Molly decided to join us for this show.
And she's quiet now, but she gets indigestion really easily.
She may have a little gas. Yeah.
She either burps or farts.
If she farts, show's over because we'll be dead.
Yeah, that's burnt rubber farts. Yeah.
But, coming to you this week, we have a patron pick from our boy in, Canada. Yeah, he's from Canada. Crook. This is a Crook pick. So, Crook from a podcast on Elm Street and a podcast on Fury Road. This is his pick. But, of course, before we do the movie review, we are going to We're going to go through our Would You Rather. So, the Queen of Would You Rathers has one for me and has one for us. So, hon, please take it away.
All right. You know, I put a lot of thought into this.
About 30 seconds, yes.
Would you rather die in a coffin being cremated?
Okay.
Or die from frostbite happening all over your body?
Oh. Okay, so you're alive, you're in a coffin, but you're alive, and they shove you into the crematorium.
Yeah.
Or
you're out exposed in the cold, and eventually everything is eaten up.
Eventually gets frostbitten, and then you just basically, like, turn into a black, crumbly, nasty. I'm going crematorium.
Really?
Yeah, we live in Michigan. Right now, there's about 6 to 8 inches of snow on the ground. I hate the cold. I would not want to go out cold. So stick me in a box, shove me in the fire, and just let me go.
I would have to agree. Both of them are going to be extremely painful.
Yeah. I got to think a crematorium, it would be a lot quicker. It would be painful as hell at first.
Well, I guess it would depend on how quick into the contraption, the oven.
I'm basing my vote on basically everything we've seen on TV, like Return of the Living Dead. You know, the guy crawls into the crematorium, turns the fire on, burns himself up.
I was thinking of Scrooged.
Same thing. But I mean, I gotta imagine it goes in there pretty fast. Or they don't. I mean, I don't think they have the fire on and then they wheel you in. I think you're in there and then they crank up the fire. So I'm thinking burning.
Yeah, I would do burning too. It looks like it, although also extremely painful.
Yeah.
It would be quicker.
It would definitely be quicker
death. And I hate the cold.
Yeah.
Which is why it's so great. So great that I live in Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan. I don't know why we never moved out.
We almost did. Remember?
We tried.
Yeah. We almost moved to Nevada.
Didn't make it. I think if we were in Nevada, we'd be complaining about the heat. Oh, but it's a dry heat.
Yeah, but not only in Michigan do you have to deal with the cold, you have to deal with the seasonal affective disorder that goes along with it. And
the humidity in the summer.
Right, and the danger on the roads.
There is just no good state in this country.
Michigan is definitely not. I'd come back to go to Frankenmuth.
Because I think, you know, if you are dying of frostbite, I think first you're going to be really cold, and then you get to that point where you're so cold that you start burning, you get that like frost burn or like freezer burn type deal.
But another thing you have to consider is that people do die from hypothermia, so you could already be dead before your body.
Well, but you said you died of frostbite, though.
So it would have to be like a supernatural kind of...
Well, yeah. I think in that scenario, yeah. It would have to be like an ultra deep freeze, like Antarctic.
Well, yeah. And that's like saying that you would die from carbon monoxide poisoning in the casket when you were going in.
Oh, no. Yeah. I don't think you'd be I don't think you'd have enough time in there to die from carbon monoxide.
The casket's closed, and you're breathing in it. Yeah, and you have been breathing in it.
Right, but I think the way I'm thinking at it is you
just... And you're going to be hyperventilating at the thought of...
I still think you'd burn up quicker. I don't know, listeners. Let us know what you think. We're always interested to hear...
We kind of disagree, and we kind of agree on... Well, for various reasons.
You keep adding these little caveats. But hey.
What do you expect for 30 seconds?
If you are listening to this, or as you are listening to this, Nancy and I just celebrated our 25th anniversary. We have been married longer than we have been apart. We got together way back in 1995. We got married in 99. And yeah, we have been married now officially for 25 years. So yeah, we've known each other longer than we haven't.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Somehow we made it this long. She keeps me on my toes.
I try to.
And I probably irritate her just as much.
A quarter of a century.
Yeah.
Of irritation.
Yeah.
Towards each other.
Right. But we're still going strong.
And that's just from being married. We've been together for 3 more years before that, so.
Well, yeah, 95, so it's, yeah. We just passed, well, back in November, we passed our 28th anniversary of being together.
Yeah.
So, yep. So we met when we were 17. What an adventure. Actually, it has been a very...
It certainly has been.
Very big adventure, so... But, okay, yes. So, happy anniversary to you, and thanks, everybody, for wishing us happy anniversary. Okay, the movie that Cook picked, again, this was his patron pick for the month of January, and the movie that he picked was Revenge from 2017, scores a 6.4 on IMDb, and it stars people. Yeah, people. Nobody we know.
No.
Nobody we've ever seen before. So, but okay. So we're just going to get right into this one. Finally, after what? 8 minutes.
That's pretty good for us though.
Actually, I think it is. Usually we go about 15 or 20.
You'd need to like set aside like 10 minutes for an argument.
I don't know. Maybe.
We never seem to agree on the same would you rather, or if we do, then we have to like think of ways about how your agreement and my agreement are different.
Even though we both picked the same answer.
Yeah.
that's a you thing. You do that.
You do it.
You keep adding all these little, well, what if you died of carbon monoxide?
You put me on the spot. You're getting all the microphones up and you're like, oh, you better think of a would you rather. So I'm sitting here.
I gave you at least 5 minutes. You only took 30 seconds of that 5 minutes.
Well, it was a pretty good one though.
Okay, so yeah, again, the movie that we watched was Revenge from 2017, scores a 6.4 on IMDb.
Women always have to put up a fight.
You drive me completely crazy. Stan Dimitri, my associates.
Hi.
Thank you.
Women always have to put up a fight.
And here we go. So the first thing you see is a helicopter flying in desert. It's the cactus and is it cacti? Cacti is the plural, right?
I think.
Cactuses?
I
don't know.
Yeah, I would. I don't know.
There's cactuses, and desert flowers all over the place. The helicopter flies in.
Why would you notice the desert flowers? I don't know why you wouldn't make that part of your description.
I took in the scene.
If there's cacti,
well, because
you're in the desert,
you're seeing what's on right. The screen, and all you see is a little dot in the distance.
But all you have to do is say, "Is we're in the desert," you know, there's cacti, but then you add desert flowers. Just seems kind of like
okay, me winning isn't you do. Whatever. So
I picture you painting like. Just a huge flower bed of different beautiful flowers.
I can't paint. Gabby's the painter. Gabby's the painter, not me. So yeah, helicopter flies in. Jen and Richard are two main characters. They get out of the helicopter, and immediately there's some sexy time. Richard's wife calls him. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, so he is married. He brought Jen to this little desert house.
It's like a glass house.
Yeah, it was really weird. Can you call it a manor? Maybe a manor? It's not quite a mansion, but...
It had like the... It was all very modern and very...
Yeah, it's like... what's that guy? Frank Lloyd Wright?
Oh, he did like mid-century modern.
Well, but I mean, it was all glass, like you said. And
yeah,
you
know, yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that he did. So anyway, yeah, they're in this fancy like desert house. Richard's wife calls, he talks to her, but then he immediately hops back in bed with Jen.
Opie-ass looking motherfucker.
So then the next morning, Stan and Dimitri, who are Richard's friends, they arrive for a hunt, I guess, is what's going on. And they're not really expecting to see Jen there. So they're kind of like, there's an awkward silence and a little bit of a stare down and like nobody really knows what's going on. That evening, some partying ensues.
And, well, it's important to note that Jen is a complete whore.
Well, yeah. She's dating a married man, and she has, well, basically the only time you see her, she's wearing a skimpy outfit. So, but yeah, she's like...
I specifically noted about how she was shaking a little ass that did not exist because there wasn't an ass there. She was shaking her top of the legs under a miniskirt.
If Nancy took one thing away from this movie, it's that Jen, the main character, has no ass.
And is a whore.
And is a whore. I had to hear that several times. So
there's a whole dynamic. We'll go into... Go into her being the protagonist, yet also being a whore, and how that doesn't make any sense. You can continue, hon.
So, evening comes, partying ensues, they're drinking, they're having a good time.
And she's a whore.
And there is, when Jen and Richard got off the helicopter pilot gave Richard a little baggie of peyote, which apparently is a hallucinogenic and is... You know, we'll really fuck you up. So Richard takes out the peyote. Stan and Dimitri do want to take the peyote. Richard says, no, it's not time for that. So he has Jen put the peyote away. He says, go hide this. Well, what she ends up doing is putting it in a locket that she's been wearing around her neck.
Because she's a deceptive whore. So. And she has tacky earrings. I don't care how 80s. Are coming back. I don't care how much that's coming back into style. Those earrings are heinous. And the fingernail polish. That's like her hands with the fingernail polish are like literally my hands in the third grade.
I think right now she's wearing just the hoops. It's in the morning she puts on the earrings that you despise. I don't know about the nail polish yet.
Well, we should probably play it in the background because we already watched it. In order for Ben to understand where I'm coming from, he's going to have to.
Okay.
I don't think you appreciate enough that she is a complete whore.
Are you sure she's a whore?
I'm sure. Are okay. you?
I've been told.
No, that's not the right answer.
I would call her a whore, yeah.
All right.
So anyway.
Jeez. And she has bad hair.
And no butt.
Yeah, I have no hair, and I'm telling her hair is bad. That's how bad it is.
So they get the peyote out. She hides the peyote in this necklace that she's wearing, or this locket. She comes back out of the house. She does some dirty dancing, a little bit of false turn on, some bumping and grinding against Stan.
Cock tease.
Yes, cock tease. So the bumping and grinding, they're all drinking, they're having a good time, smoking cigars and whatnot. She's doing the dancing and whatever. The next morning.
That is, sorry.
The next morning, they're, obviously everybody's got hangovers. Richard disappeared somewhere. I don't know where he went. I think he went to get like hunting licenses or something. Stan starts making his move on Jen, but she ultimately informs him that he is too short for her taste, which really pisses him off. Stan ends up raping Jen. Dimitri, I don't like the scene where Dimitri is chewing on that.
Was that a Charleston chew?
It looked like a Charleston chew. They're like really super close up to his mouth.
Yeah, it's all very, like very uncomfortable.
Yeah. More uncomfortable than the rape.
Yeah, kind of. Well, she's already a whore.
Okay. So Richard comes back from wherever he was. Jen tells him that Stan had raped her. He doesn't believe Jen. She runs into a cliff, or she runs off, runs through the desert.
Fingernails.
Oh, okay. And she does have the earrings on, at least in this scene. I thought at night when she was doing the dancing, it was different.
You always second guess my photographic memory. Look at those fingernails.
Where's your phone, hon?
I don't know. Yeah. It's right here somewhere. It's right here.
Yeah. See, that silence I'm going to leave in because everybody will know that you were looking for your phone.
I was too busy. You got this whore playing in the background.
You always second like, guess my photograph.
You're not looking at her nails.
Okay, I see her nails. All right. So
imagine those hands opening up a shelf Silverstein book.
Where the sidewalk ends. What was this other one? Where the sidewalk ends? A light in the attic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then he had a third one too, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't know. Giving Tree? I think that was it.
I don't know.
I think it was Giving Tree.
Ickle me, pickle me, tickle me too. So Richard comes back. He doesn't believe Jen. Jen ends up running into the desert and she runs right into a cliff. Richard ends up pushing her off the cliff.
What a nice guy.
He's a good guy. Yeah, he's, you know, hanging brain in a couple scenes. And
well, he had to get rid of that whore.
And he's, you know, talking to his wife. But anyway, so Jen lands on a tree branch. And now, how she didn't break her back, Nancy brought this up as we were watching it the first time. How she didn't break her back, we can't figure out.
She's impaled by it from her tailbone to her abdomen.
Yeah, exactly.
And there is no...
Well, you say her tailbone. It didn't go up her butt. Like, it went
through. No. The tailbone goes down to your, like... Where your butt crack starts.
Your coccyx? Or is that your shoulder? Coccyx?
I think you're thinking of the clavicle.
Is that, or is that
the shoulder bone? I don't know. Anyway.
So.
If she's going to be impaled from the back and it's going to come out her abdomen.
Yeah.
It's going to come from her back somewhere.
Well, right. I mean, she landed on
it would have to be through her spine and how she was still able to like... are we getting to that part where she...
Well, she landed on her back. Right. So I think it stuck her, obviously, to one side of her spine.
Okay, yeah, we're supposed to feel so bad for her, whatever. But then she grabs a lighter.
Well, right, yeah. Stan, Dimitri, and Richard back at the house, they start throwing all her stuff away and clearing out any evidence that she was there. And then we cut back to Jen, and she must have had stuff in her pockets, I guess, or something. Because, like, her iPod fell out, and she had a lighter in her pocket.
Her earbuds.
And so she gets this lighter. She gets a little, like, clump of brush or, like dead desert flower. And
those desert flowers you were talking about. I know.
So she lights this brush on fire, And she burns the base of the tree that she is stuck on, that she's impaled by.
As I'm watching this scene, you weren't in the room when it played this time. As I'm watching this scene, I'm seeing her still fully able to move all of her limbs. And she's got the lighter
right.
that she found in her pocket, I guess.
Well, it was on the ground. She pulled it towards her with her earbud.
And she is able to maneuver her arm around
right.
to set the tree that she is impaled by on fire.
Right. She sets the base on fire.
Okay. So first of all, that would never happen.
Just the arm movement or the...
First, where's the tree coming from?
The ground. I mean,
okay. Okay. She's impaled by the tree. Where would she light a tree where it would instantly ignite like it was like doused with lighter fluid?
Well, you can...
And not only does she set the tree on fire from just touching the lighter next to it, she is able to not feel the heat coming up, yet it is forcible enough to make the wood break.
I don't understand. I mean, she lit the base of the tree on fire.
Yeah, and then there's no like indication that she's hurt or being burned.
I can only assume that her thought was to light the base on fire to make it weaker so it would topple over.
Well, yeah. But by the time it got to her, and she was able to, like, break off of whatever, however she was able to do it.
Yeah. So when the tree catches on fire, just the branch that she's on breaks off. I don't think the whole tree toppled over.
But even still, if she set the tree on fire from the bottom.
Right. It would burn up to her.
Yeah. She would feel some kind of burn on her body.
Right.
And that was never...
Which, yeah, it was never...
Yeah, and I don't like that. I don't like when they do that to us.
So, yeah, I don't...
It's not probable at all.
So, yeah, Jen is alive. She burns the base of the tree. She gets crawls away. The boys show up to the cliff. They're looking for Jen. They can't find her. But they do see a blood trail. And the blood trail from Jen leads towards this lake or pond or something in the desert. An oasis, I guess it would be called, considered a desert, you know, low, whatever. So they're still on the hunt. Jen ends up hiding. Dimitri finds her. They scuffle back and forth. They're kind of wrestling. He's trying to drown her in this water, this pond or lake or whatever. And she ends up grabbing the knife that's in his belt. She sticks him in the eye once, sticks him in the eye again, and he ends up dying.
Is this where we're supposed to, like, root for her after she got off the helicopter with the lollipop and the sunglasses, like the little horse she is? At no point in this movie am I going to think that I'm not rooting for her.
Well, it's like we talked about right before we were setting up. Is the movie, or would you rather discuss this later?
I guess we can discuss it later.
Okay.
I got a lot to say.
Clearly. You don't need to say...
She's a whore.
She's a whore, period.
I'm still going to say it. We're watching it, and I'm looking at her.
All right. So...
She really thinks she's all that. Like, it takes any kind of talent to be a whore.
Okay.
All you got to do is give it up, right?
I guess. I don't know. I'm not a whore.
And she really thinks she's the shit. And women that watch this movie will understand.
Maybe. I don't know.
Hey, see, why are you defending her?
I'm not defending her.
I'm just joking.
You
got so scared.
Dimitri is dead. He floats off in the water. Jen drives off on his four-wheeler until it finally dies in the middle of the desert. Jen finds a cave. She remembers that she has the peyote, and she takes it. She takes a bite of it. She ends up spitting it back out into the dirt and then picks up the little chunks and takes it again. She starts wigging out, seeing all the shit, acting all funny, you know, weird music and lights and colors and everything. She takes out Dimitri's knife and she cuts away the skin around the branch that is apparently still sticking out of her. Or not apparently, it is still sticking out of her. So she cuts away, the skin, like, to open up the wound or whatever.
How about instead of, like, sitting there doing drugs? We hadn't gotten to that part yet.
Yeah, pay attention to me, not the movie.
I'm trying to watch the movie here, sorry.
No, don't watch the movie. So yeah, Jen cuts the skin around the branch. She pulls the branch out of her abdomen.
You never do that.
Never do that. That's a PSA. If you have something stuck through your abdomen, never pull it out. Go to the go directly to the hospital, because whatever that piece of metal or branch
actually,
or whatever.
If you have anything stuck to you like that anywhere, don't pull it out, because it could be in a major artery or blood vessel and
plugging up whatever holes that you organs or like you said, veins or arteries or whatever. Yeah, leave it in. PSA.
Let the doctors worry about it.
An XHR PSA. So she took the backpack that Dimitri had and she dumps it out. She finds a can of Mexican beer in there. She takes the knife. She cuts the can open. She holds the can over the fire. And then she cauterizes the hole in her belly with this crispy Mexican beer can.
Cerveza.
Well, it didn't even say cerveza. It just said Mexican beer.
But isn't that Spanish for beer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the thing that drove me nuts was that when she's done cauterizing the wound, the image of the can, it had an eagle or something on it, was tattooed on her skin.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
But it would have been reversed. But on her skin, and I mean, in real life, if she had done this, the image would have been reversed.
Yeah, but I'm backwards.
Right. But on her skin, it was the correct image, face forward image.
I don't even get that and what the purpose of that entire part was.
I'm thinking maybe it was a phoenix and it was supposed to symbolize her rising.
Okay,
again
but do it the right way. I mean, you can't.
Well,
don't question
the bird itself, whether it's reversed or backward or forward, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You can still tell it's a phoenix. But the fact that they had Mexican beer also tattooed on her.
Okay.
But was written out correctly.
And let us not forget the fact that just because she has a can next to her abdomen does not automatically make it a tattoo on her.
Well, right. The only thing I can think is
when you get a tattoo, they grind it deep in over and over and over again.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think
you're not going to have some can give you a tattoo.
No, and it was raised like it was a tattoo, a normal tattoo, a
fresh
that
tattoo. Horror would ever get a tattoo. Sorry.
Another thing that drove me nuts was that she still has the lighter that she used to burn down the tree with her. She's also got a fire burning in the cave next to her. She uses the lighter to sterilize the knife rather than the giant fire that she's got burning right next to her.
Wow.
I don't know.
Remember the sunglasses and the lollipop. She's not working with a full deck here.
A couple cards short. So Stan is taking a leak out in the water, and Dimitri ends up floating up next to him, scaring Stan, and he bugs out and But this part has only taken place overnight. And for whatever reason, Dimitri is completely bloated and mutilated and just
how
would you do,
the level of decomposition would be three months worth.
Decomposition. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, exactly. So, but he's only been dead for
overnight.
6-8 hours at most.
He would look like he looks normally, only a little bloated.
And a little wet.
Yeah.
But that's it. Yeah. But like you said, the decomposition that they had portrayed in the movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A month or two at least. Just kind of what was that movie? The Argentinian movie.
I was thinking of that Faces of Death. Remember the one where the guy was down in the sewer grate?
I don't remember that. But When Evil Lurks, the real fat dude in the very beginning. He was all leaky and pussy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So if you've seen When Evil Lurks, that's what Dimitri looked like. So, okay. Jen wakes up, still in the cave. She's got the Mexican beer tattoo on her.
Because she's all badass now.
She wakes up I don't know. She wakes up. She gathers up all her stuff.
This is actually the point during the movie where you're supposed to be okay. We're supposed to be rooting for her.
I think,
And my first question is why?
Well, because I don't
why
know.
Why would we care what happens to her? She's a whore.
You're victim blaming, hon.
Oh, she's a victim of being a whore? Sorry. Like she couldn't help that?
Even whores have feelings. I don't know.
How the hell would you know?
They're people too. I don't know. But anyway, so she wakes up, she gathers up her shit, and she starts walking towards the mouth of the cave, the entrance of the cave. And just as she gets to the entrance, Richard pops up, pulls a shotgun on her, and blows her head apart, blows her head off. Jen pops up awake again, and she gathers up her shit. She starts walking towards the mouth of the cave. Richard pops up in front of her and shoots her in the head again. And then Jen pops up awake again.
Yeah, at this point, you're kind of like, I'm done with the movie. Yeah. The plot has played out.
I think she was still tripping on the peyote, because then Stan pops up next to her and turns into an iguana. And then Dimitri pops up next to her, still all looking all bloated and decompositioned.
Decomposed.
And
I got to give you credit for even, like, I know you were taking notes and whatnot, but I lost interest when I knew she was supposed to be the survivor.
I don't know. I'm still better than Kirk's picks. Some of them. He's picked a couple good ones, but he's had some really wily ones.
What? So Kirk is better than Kirk?
Well, so far, I mean, I would say...
Kirk. Ben likes you better than Kirk. Neener, neener, neener.
Crook is 2 for 2. Kirk is like 3 for 6. So, I mean, at least he did.
Whatever that means.
Well, Kirk.
I know how you break it down mathematically. Yeah.
Crook has only had 2 picks. Kirk has had like 6. And 3 of his were really, really kind of sketchy.
But Crook has given us some good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So, it's kind of not a fair comparison.
Right. We love you both, though.
Yeah.
You guys are great.
Crook, Ben and I were trying to decide whether or not you're considered a true ginger.
Are you just a red beard?
Yeah.
Or are you full ginger? Do the carpet match the drapes?
This is a question. Because Ben's part Irish, and he has, like, ashy blonde hair, but his beard is orange.
Right.
And it looked like, from what I have seen from the pictures of Kirk or Crook,
yeah,
that he has the like ginger beard, but the regular brown hair.
Right.
Well, who's the guy from?
Dexter.
I know Crook looks like the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, or is it Frosty the Snowman? The character that you like.
Oh, yeah. Yukon Cornelius? There's gold in them there hills.
Yeah. So Crook looks like that facial hair-wise.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know what he's got going on.
Because he was wearing a cap when we chatted with him.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
In my head, but he's Yukon Cornelius. And no offense, I mean, I might have Irish. I don't know. I don't even know.
You said you did. You did the 23andMe or whatever it was.
Yeah.
One of those.
Yeah.
You're in the system now.
Oh, yeah. Big brother's watching.
But anyway, okay. So, yeah.
This Heinz 57, 45-year-old married woman is definitely a threat.
Jen is now fully awake, and she sets off on foot with Dimitri's shotgun for revenge. Take a drink. Richard and Stan make plans to find her. They go one way, they go the other way. Jen spots Stan way off in the distance. She's looking at Stan, you know, she's got binoculars. She's way off in the distance. And Stan stops to refuel was it a Range Rover or Land Rover? I don't even know the difference. Is there a difference?
I believe Range Rover is by Land Rover.
Okay. So Land Rover is the company. Range Rover is the model.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jen ends up taking a shot at Stan and ends up hitting him in the shoulder. He goes spinning and then he bolts off into the desert area.
You know what? What is his name? Kevin?
Kevin.
Who was the guy?
The main guy?
Yeah.
Richard.
Richard. Richard, Kevin, they're very similar.
Okay.
I would like to take an iron and run it across his chin.
Like a clothes iron?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Run it across his chin.
Oh, because he's got a huge butt and, chin?
Yeah, flatten out that big divot.
Well, you know what they say.
No, what?
Oh, I don't know. I was asking you. I'm sure there's some saying about guys with butt chins.
Okay.
I don't know.
You want to take an iron to him?
That beats me. I don't know.
With him particularly, he's just a jerk in the movie.
He looks like Henri from Cheers.
You think so?
You don't think he does?
Like I called him an OPS looking motherfucker.
Yeah.
He's all like.
Well, he's got a little bit of ginger on right, him too. Right, yeah. But you don't think he looks like Henri from Cheers?
Remember, Henri was also serial killer on Seinfeld.
Oh, fuck. What's his name? Carl Rifkin. Or no, nope. Carl? Joel.
Joel Rifkin. Rifkin. Yeah.
Joel Rifkin. Yeah. Remy. Remy Rifkin. Remy Rifkin? Okay, anyway. So, Stan manages to hide just enough to get a shot off at Jen. He ends up hitting her in the ear, blows off half of her ear. Jen runs off. She breaks the flashlight that she has with her, and the flashlight glass lands on the ground. Knowing that Stan...
Like, what kind of flashlight still uses glass? Come on.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Let's get with the program here.
So, so she breaks the glass to the flashlight, and because she knows that somehow she knows when Stan was running off, he was leaking blood. So he took off his boot and then he took off his sock and tied it around the wound on his shoulder. So she somehow knows that he's only got one boot on. Well, she breaks this glass on a rock and Stan runs, of course, right across the glass and gets a giant chunk of the shit stuck in his foot. Now, he sits down on the ground. He's rooting around in his foot for this piece of glass and is like,
that's just what we want to see. Thank you. Yeah.
Digging and digging.
We want to watch a movie about a guy picking something out of his foot.
Better than picking something out of his butt. That silence was worth a thousand.
Okay, moving on.
Yeah, so he ends up getting back to the Land Rover. He tries running Jen off the road, and Jen takes a couple shots at him, 1, 2, 3, and then finally hits him in the head and just, you know, blows his head apart, and he ends up crashing the Land Rover into a rock. Richard is back at... So, all right, Richard is now back at the manor. Jen shows up. Eyeballs Richard as he's like sitting there watching TV or something. He was taking a shower. He heard the TV and then he comes out to investigate. He's got his shotgun. She's got her shotgun. Well, she's standing there outside, got the shotgun trained on him. And she ends up shooting Richard in the like left or the right. I don't even remember. But she ends up shooting Richard in the stomach, in the gut. Well, he's not dead. He runs off. Got blood spilling all over the place.
I don't understand why you needed to talk about whether it was the right or left hand or.
I don't know. Because at one point.
You made a point to like say that it was in the right hand or left hand. I don't even know.
Well, I do have a point. Because when they're running through the house at one point, I'm pretty damn sure it shows the wound on the opposite side of his body that it was on. Now they may have just like for that very short clip flipped the,
like he was looking in a mirror or something.
Yeah, something. I don't think he was looking in a mirror. It's just the way he was standing. I could swear that the wound was on the other side, but that's not important. Anyway, so she shoots him in the guts, and he's leaking blood and nasty shit all over the place. She comes running into the house, following him, following the trail of blood. There's a standoff, there's some more shooting, there's, you know, he ends up somehow getting a hold of her. And
this is where I have completely tuned out.
To the, oh, at the end of the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, because of the running, the cat and mouse?
It just goes on and on and on.
It is a very extended scene.
Like, the beginning, you're like, okay, let's do this. And then the cave part is like, okay, kind of losing interest. And then after that, it just kind of drops off to nothing.
Well,
and I hate to like beat a dead horse, but I don't like her, and I didn't like her throughout the movie. Yeah. So I really don't care whether she survives or not towards the end. So I was just kind of like, all right, I've watched enough.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
And really, nothing significant happened from that point.
Still better than Slimeball Bolarama.
What isn't?
Love you, Kirk. So yeah, they're both armed with shotguns. What
was the one that we said that we would make him do, like bimbo sluts from outer space or something like that?
You sent it to a picture to him. I don't remember. I don't think that was an actual. It was an actual movie, but I don't think it's horror. I think that was porn.
I think it was maybe softcore, like what they have on Showtime.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I don't think that was an actual horror movie.
Oh, so you think he would be opposed? He chose that movie for us. You think that he's not going to watch that?
I don't know. He is a father, so.
You're a father.
I don't know if he'd have time to watch that. He's got the young kids. Our kids don't care what we watch. All right.
Another awkward silence.
See, it's going to be tough to edit that out because... Those pauses are good.
I don't know why I keep snorting. I'm not doing it on purpose.
Okay. Richard ends up catching up to Jen because she slipped in his blood. He grabs her up. He starts strangling her. And she ends up escaping by digging her hand into the wound on his stomach. She falls. He falls. He stands up. She grabs the shotgun. Somehow it gets put up to Richard's chest. Like, he grabs the barrel of the shotgun. She jams the shotgun up into his chest and then just blows a hole in his chest. He goes falling back and the blood sprays all over the place. Jen ends up finally getting up. She walks out of the house just as the helicopter arrives to pick up the guys after their hunt. But there was no hunt except for her. And the credits roll.
I will take your word for it.
Okay. So, now be honest. I know you don't like her.
No, she's a whore.
Right. Well, give me your gore score. And don't base your gore score on your feelings for the movie.
The gore score is the gore part.
Yeah.
The cringy part.
Well, yeah. And nastiness and gore violence and gore.
I would give it a 4, and that's just because of the Charleston Chew scene. Nothing else really.
But not the digging through the foot and
the Charleston Chew scene was very poignant.
Okay.
And digging through the foot, okay. You can't get past because they show his teeth and it's an extreme close up. It was just very uncomfortable. That's the part that like.
So you're obviously putting that in the cringe department.
Yes, and we can add the digging through the. the foot thing.
Well, but. I mean, the gore score is supposed to be, gore violence and I guess the nastiness.
Most of the nastiness is pointed towards her, and I'm not 100% convinced that I really am not. Because kind of like in a regular movie.
Yeah.
Where there's a villain, and they might get like.
So most of the violence is.
Most of the violence is aimed at them torturing her and her torturing them in some way.
Mm-hmm.
I am not convinced that I care whether she's being tortured or not. I'm torn.
Yeah, but it still happened.
Yeah, but when you really don't like somebody in a movie and you see them just get... I wouldn't say that the scenes in which she was tortured, I wouldn't see them as that bad. Not beyond the Charleston Chew.
But the Charleston Chew does not have anything to do with her.
Well, I don't care. That's the point I was trying to make, I guess.
Okay.
I'm still looking at her. Every time I look at her through the movie, I'm looking at, tacky sunglasses and a lollipop and a mini skirt. Like, I don't care what the hell happens to you. You got what's coming to you, bitch.
Okay. All right. So what's your gore score then? Your final gore score?
It would be a 4.
Okay. And then your overall?
I have watched this movie probably 4 times
Three or four, yeah.
Yeah. You know I love to hate movies.
I know you do.
And every now and then, even if I hate a movie, that's still a compliment if I want to watch it again.
And then we were trying to jot down movies that we wanted to cover for the show, and you come up with a bunch that, like, you told me originally that you hated. Well, right. So.
Yeah, first time I see a movie.
You're a fucking enigma.
Let's try to keep on track here.
Yeah.
First time I watch a movie, I watch it.
Right.
But then it sinks in. And sometimes if a movie is really good or it kind of grabbed you some way, it sneaks into your subconscious.
Right. And I cannot for the life of me remember what movie we were just talking about where you said that.
And this movie was one of those where you never thought in a million years that I'd ever want to watch this movie again.
Right.
But we have seen it multiple times.
Well, I know we watched it a long time ago.
First time we watched it, I said I hated it.
Right.
Second time we watched it, just the fact that that was my choice to watch it another time. Because I said, oh, that movie where they were in the desert and the girl was a slut and...
Yeah. Wait, is she a slut or a whore?
She's both.
Okay.
And so I would say overall...
Doesn't a whore usually get paid?
Who?
A whore.
I'm sure she's getting paid.
Well, he actually...
Are you talking about her character or her in real life?
No, her character.
Well, remember...
Or the difference between a slut and a whore in real life. Because whores usually get paid.
Yes, yes. But speaking of that, I'm not just calling her a whore because she's a whore. I'm calling her a whore. She is a whore. I'm calling her a whore, though, because the deal was that she was going to go back and he was going to, like, take care of her, remember?
He did offer her money after she got raped.
Right. Yeah. And she could have just taken that because she was a whore, but she didn't.
Right.
So she's a stupid-ass whore.
Okay. All right.
If she would have just taken it, because we already know she's a whore, then it would be like, all right, she's a whore. But she's a smart whore.
Okay. All right. So back to the watching. You said first time we watched it, you hated it. Then we watched it again.
My big thing when it comes to my overall score is rewatchability.
Right.
I have to give this one an 8.
Holy shit. Okay.
Because I'll probably ask again to watch this one. And you know I don't remember names of movies.
Right.
And I will ask to watch this one again.
Okay.
Just because. Okay. Just, and because most, yeah, I will admit it. Because I love to hate, I love to complain about her, I like to call her a whore. It's entertainment for me. So yeah, I would watch it again.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Like I said, you're a fucking enigma. Okay. So I'm going to go a little higher than you on the gore score. I'm going to go a 6. Yes, the Charleston chew was nasty. The digging through the foot was nasty. Yeah, so the digging through the foot, the Charleston chew, the gunshot wound to the abdomen. I'm going to do a 6, I think, on the gore score. And then overall, see, I mean, we've watched this, what, like 3 times in the last week?
I think it's like, this is our 4th time, actually.
4th time this week or 4th time overall?
No, 4th time watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, we've watched it like 3 times just in the last few days.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think overall, I don't know, a 7, I think. And I think you swayed me in this just because of the conversation that we had right before we started the movie. The name of the movie is Revenge. But what you said is she's not really getting revenge. She's fighting for survival.
Yeah, she's surviving, trying to survive.
So I think... Because of that, I'm gonna go with a 7 overall. Well, still not a bad movie.
Let me ask you this. This movie's name being Revenge.
Right.
And I compared it to Last House on the Left.
Yeah.
How much more is this a revenge story than Last House on the Left? Or are they equal to you?
Well, like you said, she is being hunted by the guys.
Mm-hmm.
And... For you listeners, this whole conversation we had before we started recording. She is being hunted by the 3 guys. So what she's doing is not, and this is exactly your point, she's not necessarily getting her revenge on these 3 guys. She is just fighting for survival.
Right.
They are hunting her. She is trying to survive, and she's trying to do that by any means possible. And if that means killing them, that's what she's doing.
And that's the only other thing that I can think of that would make this revenge is how she's a slut with the two guys at the party.
Right.
And they had get back at her.
Had she not done the dirty dancing and the stuff like that,
is
and
then the they revenge on their part.
Wait, revenge on their part?
Yeah.
No, no, no. If she had not done the dirty dancing and was not...
Right, right. There wouldn't be anything.
Right. And he and the one guy raped her. Then if she wasn't a quote unquote horror slut and he raped her, then it would be revenge.
If she were to like in malice, just like tried to make him suffer.
Yeah.
You know, more than you would fighting for your life, I would call that revenge.
Right.
There was no act of revenge in this movie except for the guy that said, you were teasing me last night and now I want to be with you. And she said, no, you're not my type.
Right.
So, and not like that's any kind of justification for what he did.
Yeah.
But that's the only instance of revenge that I see in this movie.
Well, yeah, getting back at that guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. Well, okay. There you have it. We have our scores, a 4 and an 8 from Nancy, a 4 on the gore score, 8 overall, and then a 6 on the gore score and a 7 overall from me. We are Extreme Horror Replay, and although we do not always cover extreme movies, which is kind of why we go by, I think, XHR more now than we do Extreme Horror Replay.
Yeah.
But
well, extreme is a very relative term.
I guess it's, yeah, yeah.
Some people think that Halloween is extreme.
That's true. Okay. But yeah, that's neither here nor there. Anyway, we are Extreme Horror Replay. I am Ben. She is Nancy. You can find us on Instagram at XHR_podcast. You can find us on Patreon at www.patreon.com/XHR podcast. We do have a TeePublic that is available for you to buy some cool swag. And all that information is in the bio on Instagram. Again,
I'm pretty sure I saw Harry Styles wear one of our shirts.
I don't know who would be more excited, me or Ashlyn, because Ashlyn loves Harry Styles.
Maybe we could make it like a...
It would be kind of cool.
Do like a thing with at Frankenmuth, like they have the Greta Van Fleet stuff.
Yeah.
It's like Michigan Homegrown podcast.
Wouldn't that be nice? One of these days I'll get one of their vinyls. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, you can find us on all your major podcast platforms. Thank you, Crook, for being our patron. We do appreciate your pick.
Even though you're a ginger.
It's okay. I'm a ginger.
A semi-ginger.
Yeah, I got a ginger beard too. Anyway, yes, but and also thank you, Kark, for being our patron. We do appreciate you guys, and we love you up there in the Great White North. Little Ben and Eamon, thank you guys for being our friends. Nick and Andy from Slash U, we also appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for being our friends. And now I'm rambling, so it's time to get out of here. I will say be safe, and especially on these winter roads, drive safe and take care of one another. And then I don't know if Nancy's going to sign off. So, all right. So we will talk to you all later. Have a good week. And that is it. Bye.
Bye.
It never fails to be stupid. See ya.